Lesson 19. Section 1. Dialogues. Dialogue 1.
Good morning. Can I see Mr. Johnson, please? Have you an appointment?
Yes, at 10:30.
What's your name, please?
MacDonald. Jane MacDonald.
Ah, yes. Mr. Johnson's expecting you. This way, please. Mr. Johnson's room is on the next floor.
Dialogue 2.
What does your friend do for a living?
He's one of those people who give legal advice.
Oh, I see. He's a solicitor, you mean?
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. My vocabulary is still very small, I'm afraid.
Never mind. You explained what you meant.
Dialogue 3.
What shall we do this weekend?
Let's go for a walk.
Where shall we go, then?
Let's go to the New Forest. We haven't been there for a long time.
That's a good idea. I'll call for you in the car at 10:30. Is that all right?
That'll be splendid. See you tomorrow, then. Goodbye.
Dialogue 4.
You have some brown suede shoes in the window at £4. Would you show me a pair in size 6, please?
Oh, what a pity. We've no size 6 left in that style. But we have a pair in a slightly different style.
Can I try them on?
Yes, of course.
I like these very much. How much are they?
They're exactly the same price. £4.
Good. I'll have them then.
Dialogue 5.
Excuse me, but I really must go now.
Oh, must you? It's still quite early.
I'm terribly sorry, but I have to be home by midnight. My wife will be very worried.
I quite understand. What time does your train go?
At 11:15. Dear me, it's gone 11. I'll have to ask you to drive me to the station.
That's all right, but you must come again soon.
That's most kind of you.
Dialogue 6.
You're up early this morning.
Yes, I've been out and bought a paper.
Good. Then you can tell me what the weather's like.
It's freezing.
Oh, dear. Not again.
Don't worry. It's not nearly as cold as yesterday.
Thank goodness for that.
Dialogue 7.
Excuse me. Can you tell me where the James Bond film is showing?
Yes, at the Palace Cinema.
Do you happen to know when it starts?
I don't know when it starts, but I can tell you how to find out. It's here in the local paper.
Can you show me which page it is on?
Here it is, but I don't know which performance you want to see.
Dialogue 8.
Why aren't you eating your breakfast?
I don't feel very well.
Oh dear, what's the matter?
I feel feverish. I'm shivering.
Go and lie down. I'll send for the doctor.
Look, I hate causing any bother. I prefer working it off.
Certainly not. You must go to bed and keep warm.
Dialogue 9.
Excuse me. Can you tell me the way to the swimming pool, please?
I can't, I'm afraid. I'm a stranger here, you see. But why not ask that man over there? He'll be able to tell you, I'm sure.
Which one do you mean?
Look, the one over there, on the other side of the road.
Ah, yes, I can see him now. Thank you so much.
Section 2. A. News.
This is Radio 2, and you're listening to the 6 o'clock news. Here are the main points. Texas is having its worst storms for 50 years. Many people are homeless, and damage to property is estimated at over $2 million. Today's Irish budget has introduced the highest increase in taxes since 1979. The film Living at Home has received the Best Film of the Year award. This is the first British film to win the top award for 4 years. The rise in the cost of living this month has been the lowest for 6 months.
More news later. And now for the latest sound from the freakouts.
B. At the airport.
Look, Jenny, I don't understand what's going on. You said your sister was arriving at 7:30. It's 8:30 now.
I'm sorry, Mike. I don't understand either. Here's Helena's telegram. Have a look at it.
Arriving Heathrow, Tuesday, 19:30. Can't wait to see you. Can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see her. Jenny, where's she coming from? What airline is she travelling on? What's the flight number?
I don't know, do I? This telegram is the only information I have.
Never mind, Jenny. Let's have a coffee. We can sit down and think about the best thing to do.
C. Past experiences.
Have you ever been chased by a dog, Keith?
No, I haven't. I've been chased by a bull.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, it was a couple of weekends ago. I was going for a walk out in the country following this footpath, and went through a field. I was so busy looking out for the footpath that I didn't notice that the field was full of young bullocks. And the trouble was, I was wearing this bright red anorak. And suddenly the bull started bucking and jumping up and down and started chasing me.
What did you do?
Well, I was pretty scared. I just ran for the nearest fence and jumped over it.
Actually, I do know somebody who once got bitten by a dog while he was jogging.
Yeah. Was he? How did that happen?
Well, he was running past a farm when suddenly the sheepdog came out and started barking at him. So he tried to kick it out of the way.
Yeah.
But then, suddenly the dog jumped up and bit him in the leg.
Served him right.
I think he had to go to the doctor to make sure it wasn't infected.
Yeah.
D. Monologue 1.
My grandfather was called Charles, and my grandmother was called Anne. They lived in Manchester. My grandmother died last year, age 98. They had 3 children named David, John, and Alice. They are, of course, my father, my uncle, and aunt. My father is called David, and he's the eldest of the 3. My mother is called Mary. My father was an engineer. He's retired now. My father's brother, my uncle, as I said, is called John. He's married to Heidi. They have 2 children. The eldest is called Simon, and the younger one is called Sally. My uncle John is in the army serving in Germany. Simon is married to a girl called Diana. They have 2 children, Richard and Fiona. My auntie Alice married a man called Henry Jones. They moved to Australia when I was very young. I don't remember them very well. My husband's name is Andy. We have 2 children, Ida, age 2, and Tom, who is 6 months old. We work in China now and may visit Aunt Alice next year.
E. Monologue 2.
I was born in Scotland, in Glasgow to be exact, in the early 1950s. And I suppose, like everybody else, I went to school. Primary school, then secondary school. The only difference, really, is that I always went to the same school. From when I was age 5, right through until I was age 18. So there wasn't really much to relate about that part of my life. I suppose it was much the same as everybody else's. I lived in my hometown, Paisley, all that time. But then aged 18, like most British people of my sort of class, middle class, and so on, I left my hometown and moved away to university. A lot of British people don't go to their local university. They go to another one, which is further away. Possibly because they'd rather not stay at home with their parents. So I left my hometown of Paisley, and I went to St. Andrews, on the east coast of Scotland. There I studied English, and then modern history. And so, for 4 years, I studied those subjects and was very happy. Later, I left St. Andrews with a degree in modern history, and not really knowing what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure whether I'd go on and do some research, or whether I'd like to be a teacher. So, I took a year off to think about it. And then, 1 year later, I decided I wanted to be a teacher, and I went to teacher training college. And this time, yet again, it was in another part of the country, in Newcastle, in the northeast of England. So there, I trained to be a teacher, and I qualified as a teacher of history and English. And after that year, I began work, real work, for the first time in my life. I suppose this would be around 1977. So then I went to work in a comprehensive school in southeast England, outside London, in a place called Basildon. And there I taught history, but I found out I really disliked both the place, the Basildon, and the school. It was a terrible school. And so I thought, I don't want to be stuck here the rest of my life. I want to try something different. So I did something completely different. I went to, would you believe, the Sudan. And I ended up in Omdurman, which is near the capital city of Khartoum in Sudan. And I taught English. I taught English to foreigners, to, in fact, teachers of English in a teacher training college. And that went on for a couple of years, and then I returned to Britain, where I did my master's degree in applied linguistics. This time, again, in another part of the country, in Wales, in North Wales, at a place called Bangor. After graduating and getting my master's, I went and I taught at Lancaster University. I taught Algerian students who were going to come to British universities to study. Then I went, for a quite long time, to Yugoslavia, to Ljubljana, to be exact. And I taught ESP. ESP means English for Special Purposes. In particular, I taught scientific English in a chemistry department connected to UNESCO, UNESCO. And so I worked there for 5 years, and then I moved. But still in the same city, I moved to another job in medical English in a hospital, which was also connected with UNESCO. After a total of 7 years in Yugoslavia, and I left. And I ended up here, where I am now, in China, teaching at EY.
Section 3. Dictation.
Dr. Soanso is the Secretary General of the United Nations. He's one of the busiest men in the world. He's just arrived at New Delhi Airport now. The Indian Prime Minister is meeting him. Later, they'll talk about Asian problems. Yesterday, he was in Moscow. He visited the Kremlin and had lunch with Soviet leaders. During lunch, they discussed international politics. Tomorrow, he'll fly to Nairobi. He'll meet the President of Kenya and other African leaders. He'll be there for 12 hours. The day after tomorrow, he'll be in London. He'll meet the British Prime Minister, and they'll talk about European economic problems. Next week, he'll be back at the United Nations in New York. Next Monday, he'll speak to the General Assembly about his world tour. Then he'll need a short holiday.